Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Hello, and welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hemmerker, and I'm so glad you joined me. This episode, you're going to hear about this month's new releases in Christian romantic suspense. I hope you will enjoy hearing from your favorite romantic suspense authors as they talk about the background of their latest books.
I am delighted to welcome Suzanne Woods Fisher to my show. She's going to talk about Chase the Light, her latest romantic suspense. So welcome.
Thanks, Sarah, for having me.
So your heroine in this story, why did you pick her name? And be sure to tell us what that name is.
Well, her name is Scout Johnson. She's a ranger. She is actually from the Deep South, but she is up in Acadia National Park. That's where the book is set. And she is a very earnest person, loves being a ranger, you know, has a southern mother who is constantly trying to draw her back home.
And why would you want to leave Acadia National Park? I mean, I've been there. It's gorgeous. So, yeah.
It is so gorgeous. Yeah. I think her mother's terrified she's going to meet somebody, a northerner.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I hate to break it to you, Mom, but she does. So.
Oh, Sarah, don't tell.
I know. Don't tell her. Don't tell her. So where did your hero grow up?
Well, I mentioned the Deep South, and she has a mom and a dad, and the mother is a very strong Southern Belle. Like, she is large and in charge kind of a personality. And her father is actually a marine archaeologist, so he was always off on these shipwrecks around the world, always leaving home, and one day he finally left and never came back. And her mother told Scout, only child, he really divorced us both. And Scout had no reason not to believe that. The dad never really contacted her again, and it was so painful to her because you asked about her name, Scout. Her dad gave her the name Scout because he's the outdoor lover. The mother does not believe in being outdoors. She named her only daughter Magnolia Pearl, which is something Scout will not answer to at all. So that's a lot of the dynamic that is kind of driving Scout into the world of being a ranger for the National Park Service. She has this love of her dad, who is sort of off screen, just a mysterious, absent father.
Yeah, so what about the villain in this story? Who or what does your villain love the most?
Well, to just back up a minute, I think the missing dad is part of what always holds Scout back from ever really falling in love. You know, there's as much as she really tries to push her mother away, there is just that mother's voice in the back of her mind, which we all sort of understand a bit. So when we look at the villain, in this story, the villain is not necessarily your classic villain, like looking to do people in, but he is a rather self-centered person, and he is I can't tell you too much without revealing, so I'm going to be a little bit vague, but I can tell you that he complicates Scout life in a huge way. He loves his work deeply. He loves the legacy that he's inherited, and in some ways, that's where he and Scout are actually quite a bit alike. They are both sort of workaholics and love what they do, but where Scout's devotion to her work is really about protecting the parks for visitors, he's a lot more about, there's something else that's driving him entirely, and that's part of the story.
Right. So you talked a little bit about the setting. So why did you pick this setting for this story?
Acadia National Park is so unique among the national parks because it is like all coastline and islands and towns in the middle of it, and you can do anything from be out in the roaring, you know, sailing and canoeing and kayaking with that surf, all the way to climbing these steep granite cliffs, to walking through deep pine forests. And there's just a little bit of everything in Acadia. It's unique to the National Park system. And I live out in California, so I'm talking west. You know, when I think of the western park, it couldn't be more different. So setting it in Acadia National Park, there's so much history Maine is so accessible for most people on the East Coast. It's a place that should be on everybody's bucket list to try to get up there. And it's not hard, and it doesn't have to be expensive, and it's just so beautiful and special.
Yeah, I would agree. We could talk offline about how lovely Maine is, so I second that. It's a beautiful, beautiful place to be. So what about this particular story that made you want to write it?
Well, I've been writing a series on based on the national parks. So my first one was set in the Grand Tetons. This one is in Acadia coming out. I just submitted my last one on Yosemite. I love the national parks, and I think some of it came for me during the pandemic, sort of that heightened love of what our country has to offer. So you don't have to leave. You don't have to go elsewhere. There's so much to see right here, and we started seeing more and more of the parks and kind of falling in love with what they're about, especially off-season. If you can go in the shoulder seasons, they're just so special. But, like, move forward a little bit. I think it's actually more important because they bring us together as Americans in a way that is so remarkable. There's just no way to not be in a national park and not feel proud of your country, proud of the history, the people that went before us to preserve it and protect it for us and what we want to do for future generations. And I think we just need that right now. We all, whatever side of the world part of the political world you live on, we all need to feel that connection to each other, and it happens in a park.
Yes, I love that. That's a beautiful sentiment. Would you just tell us what you want readers, what's one thing you want readers to know about your book as we close our short time together?
Well, I think one thing is that, America's about to hit the 250th birthday this summer, and I do hope readers will leave my books with this sense of America began way before 1776. There's a much longer story there. So any park you go into, there is a history that starts with Native Americans, goes to early explorers. It's really fascinating. It has been home to many, many people. And I think it's so important to look for that story, to kind of not just think that this park began on the date that the sign was there and the visitor center opened, but the story behind it, the people that live there, how they lived, why they left. I mean, each one has just so much to offer, and they're beautiful places. So I think that's a little bit of what I hope as we hit, America 250, we just recognize we have been given a real treasure.
I love that, Suzanne. So thank you so much for sharing about Chase the Light on my show today.
Thank you.
I'm delighted to welcome Donnie Stevens to my show to talk about his latest romantic suspense, Back to You. So welcome to my show, Donnie.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you for the invite, and appreciate you being the host today.
So at the start of this story, how does your heroine feel about love?
Well, she's a little bit skeptical of her feelings. Lee, her strange husband, has reached out to her wanting to mend their broken marriage after 2 years of separation. But married at a young age, right out of high school, she's a bit skeptical of his seriousness and unsure of her own feelings about reuniting after 2 years separated.
And your hero in this story, what is his first reaction in an emergency situation?
The heroine's first reaction, well, she wakes up freezing and confused. She's laying in pitch darkness. She's lying on her back, strapped in a seat with her feet dangling in air. She panics, and she tries to talk herself to calm down, think, and comes to terms once she remembers what has happened and finds her pilot injured and unconscious. Her first thoughts, how are they going to survive the night?
Yeah, that's a tough situation. So what about the story's setting? Why did you want this particular setting for this book?
Most of the books that I've ever written center around places that I have visited. And I always, when I visit a new area, in this case was Alaska, I went on a cruise. I visited five different provinces And I was amazed at the people, the culture, the influence of each province having its own nationality, but also the surrounding wilderness, the hard country, and the way the people had to live. And I told my wife when we left there, someday I'm going to write a story in Alaska, and this is the first of two that I've written.
Oh, that's wonderful. Love that. So what about the underlying positive message of Back to You? What is that?
Okay, this story really has two messages. One, it's a story about redemption and second chances. And no matter how dire the situation is, your chances of overcoming a catastrophic crisis or event in your life, you can overcome it as long as you cling to hope.
I love that. That is so true. And we're going to close our short time talking about Back to You with what is your book's tagline?
The tagline is, can a rescue mission reignite a love thought lost and save lives before the Arctic claims them all?
I love that. Well, thank you so much for sharing about Back to You on my show today.
Thank you very much, Sarah.
I'm welcoming back Jessica R. Patch to my show. She's going to talk about her most recent release, The Girl Upstairs. So welcome back, Jessica.
Thanks so much for having me, Sarah.
So at the start of this book, how does your heroine feel about love?
My heroine is married, and they are going through a very bumpy patch. So she is feeling like love is, she is at the end of the rope with that. And she's hoping to rekindle it by moving and starting a new chapter, but she's teetering between hope and I don't know if this is going to work.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we've all been there at various parts in relationships. So your villain in this story, what's his or her motivation?
Keeping the past in the past and buried. Absolutely.
So everything the villain does is to keep the past from coming back.
Yes, yes, for sure.
Yes. Yeah. And what about the setting? I know that you mentioned your heroine, you know, moved to try to rekindle her relationship with her husband,
yeah.
But how does the setting move your story forward?
I always think that a setting should be a character as well. And so in this story, it's set in Maine, a small town in Maine, and it's creeping up. When they move in, it's very Gilmore Girlish, very fall vibes. But then we creep up into Halloween. So it's not necessarily a Halloween story, but as Halloween takes place and everybody comes out with masks and all the spooky decorations, as she begins to uncover an old, decades-old mystery, those masks of the people start to come off and show their true colors, which is very evil and very spooky, very Halloween-y. So you can see the gradual shift in the town and a shift in the story as well. So it's mirroring one another.
Ah, I love that. Yeah, and you're right. You know, when we can have our settings really kind of be part of the story, it makes it, I think it does make it really fun to do.
I do too.
So, yeah, so what about this particular story that made you say, I have to write this story?
I have always wanted to write a murder house story for, well, probably two decades. And I have just never, when I go, and I always pray about, Lord, what story are we telling? It's your story, and I'm just serving the body of Christ, so you need to give me the message. And nothing came, nothing stuck. I get a few bare ideas, and it didn't work out. And then at this right timing, as God always works out, the story hit. And so it was finally time to be able to do that. So I was really excited to write The Girl Upstairs because I'm finally getting, after a couple of decades, to write a murder house book.
Yeah. I love it. Sometimes I think we all do have those little ideas, and it just like you're like, it doesn't fit with this story, it doesn't fit with this story, it doesn't fit with it, you know, and we do have to find the right story. You know, sometimes I think readers think they just, you know, sometimes stories just drop, poof, there we go. But most of the time we do wrestle with that. So I love that you're finally able to get your murder house story. Woohoo! I mean, we're not excited about murder, but I'm excited about that you got to write this story that's been swirling around for so long.
Finally.
So we're going to close our short time together with, what's one thing you want readers to know about the girl upstairs?
Well, the girl upstairs is definitely disturbing. It's unsettling. It's creepy, as all my thrillers are. It's meant to be that way. But more than just being disturbing and creeping and triggering and all of those things, it is a story about trauma and how we cope with trauma in a good, healthy way and also in an unhealthy way. And it's about the dark things that happen to us in life that we can't control, but recognizing that God can take what was meant for harm and turn it into something wonderful, giving us healthy coping mechanisms and peace within the darkness, dealing with that past, and also purpose, a purpose for the future. And that's really what the story's about.
Ah, I love that. Thank you so much for sharing about the girl upstairs today.
Thanks for having me.
I'm welcoming back Danielle Grandinetti to talk about her latest romantic suspense, Shipwrecked Faith. So welcome back to my show, Danielle.
Thanks so much for having me.
So in this story, if your heroine has or could have a pet, what would it be? And don't forget to tell us the name.
So I love this question for my heroine, because Sadie, that's my heroine's name, grew up on a farm. And she has a dairy farm in Wisconsin, and she has a favorite dairy cow. And the dairy cow's name is Old Lady. And if you read the story, Old Lady actually has a significant part in the story.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And that's kind of a funny name for, for a cow.
I know.
I can just picture it's this cow. I really can.
I know. And she has a personality. It's great.
If she didn't have a personality with a name like that, you did not write this cow correctly. I'll tell you that right now. So your hero in this story, where did your hero grow up?
So my hero's name is Kellen, and he doesn't see himself as a hero. He was orphaned and forced to live with his cousin, who is part of the Irish mob in Chicago. And the story is about him attempting to get out of that.
Yeah, I guess, you know, good people don't want to be involved in that sort of thing.
Exactly, and that's exactly what he faces.
So, your villain, what's the motivation for your villain in this tale?
So in this story, the villain is named up front, and we actually get little peeks at his point of view as well. It is Kellen's cousin, and we... he believes that family is the most important thing and believes Kellen betrayed family. And so he believes that his cousin deserves to be punished for the betrayal.
Mm. And what about the challenge in writing this book? What was the biggest challenge you had in writing the book and where you set it?
So this particular story is based on a historical event that happened the day the stock market crashed in 1929. While the world focused on the stock market crash, the eastern part of Wisconsin focused on the sinking of the SS Wisconsin. And the story sets out with my hero and heroine actually on that boat and being shipwrecked. So the challenge of setting it on an actual historical like ship and took a lot of research, but there's a lot out there about maritime shipwrecks, and that one in particular. I actually got to see a UW diver go down and do a class workshop I took, and they did an actual maritime excavation of it and showed the actual ship underwater.
Oh, cool.
It was so cool. So challenge to make sure I got it right, because I was dealing with a historical fact, but also really incredible to bring that, I mean, tragedy to the page.
Yeah, so that leads us to the next question, which is, what is the genesis of this story? So obviously you found the shipwreck fascinating, but what made you want to write this particular story?
So this particular story started because of that, finding that headline that the stock market wasn't the biggest news on what we think of as the biggest news day of the year, you know, of that time period. And so the genesis of the story was, about the shipwreck, but it became much more about the family and the three sisters who the trilogy follows, and how family really became, you know, what the farmers were facing as the Great Depression got started. And so, yeah, it went from a headline that was fascinating to kind of digging deeper into how the world was set as the Great Depression was about to start.
I love that. Well, we are almost out of time, Danielle. Can you share what's one thing you want readers to know about shipwrecked faith?
So the one thing that I would love readers to know is that this book is part of a trilogy, and so it's kind of family saga because it'll follow the three sisters through the three books. But even though it is traditionally published, whereas a lot of my books are independently published, it's actually in the same world, same genre, same decade that I enjoy writing in. So hopefully they'll just find another series to enjoy in my story world.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for sharing about Shipwrecked Faith.
Thanks for having me.
My next guest is Gina Holder. She's talking about her upcoming romantic suspense, The Escape Game. So welcome to my show, Gina.
Thank you for having me.
And I should say, I believe it is out now. So by when this airs, it'll be out. So we're going to dive right into your heroine. Who is the most important person in her life?
So the most important person in Demi's life is her best friend, Madeline Cartwright.
Okay, and what about your hero in this story? What is holding him back from finding love?
So he has a career as a missionary to countries that are closed to the gospel, and he fears that that is too dangerous of a life to bring a wife and a family into it.
I have a feeling the heroine might change his mind. Let's see. So the villain in this story, who or what does your villain love the most?
So I'm hoping that this isn't too much of a spoiler, but the thing that my villain loves the most is actually a plant that she crafted herself.
Well, sometimes when we love things more than we should, they can lead us into trouble. That is for sure. So for this book, what was the biggest challenge to write this book and where you had it set?
So the biggest challenge that I faced is the limited setting and a limited cast. Probably 80% of the book takes place in a single house. It's a mansion, but it is still a very limited setting. And also the limited cast, because everyone who has to be involved in the story is in the house at the time. So that makes it a little limited. They can't travel around and visit other people in other towns or other areas of town. They have to interact with only those who are in the house at the time.
Yeah, that does make it a little trickier. So what about the genesis? What gave you the idea for the escape game?
So I came up with this after I heard the true story of the Winchester Mystery House in San Jose, California. It's a very interesting story, and the concept sparked the idea for the escape game.
Oh, I love how we can use things that we hear to give us great ideas. That's so much fun. So we're going to close our short time together, Gina, with what is your book's tagline?
So the tagline for The Escape Game is where every puzzle becomes a deadly game.
Oh, I love that. Well, thank you so much for sharing about The Escape Game on my show today.
Thank you again for having me.
Welcome back to my show, Jessica. She's going to talk about her latest romantic suspense, Relentless Chase. So welcome to my show again.
Thank you.
So in this story, what lie does your heroine believe?
Okay, so her name is Rachel, and Rachel believes that Ishmael works for the cartel, and that he's only helping her to get evidence that she has against the cartel.
Okay, and I'm guessing that your hero might set her right, but what is his greatest fear in this story?
His greatest fear is actually trusting God, because he doesn't know if God is going to fail him. He has a lot of issues with God, so.
Yeah, some of us do. That is so true. What about your villain? Can you tell us one redeeming quality about your villain?
So there's actually quite a few villains, but the main one, all I can say is that the person thinks that love has motivated them to do what they're doing.
Ah, yeah. Sometimes that can definitely lead us astray. and what about the setting in this story? How does it move your story forward?
So because she's a missionary, it starts off in Africa. And because it's Relentless Chase, she's being chased across, like, different countries, where eventually she ends up back in East Tennessee. That's the mystery series. So it shows her being chased to different countries.
All right. And why did you want to write this particular story? What about this story made you say, I've got to tell that story?
Well, this is the last book in this series, and she's the last sister. And she's a missionary, so I wanted to focus on, as a missionary, you know, that God works all things for good. It doesn't seem good, especially what happens to her, but that God has a plan, and that God's protecting her, and he's guiding her all across all the countries back to Tennessee.
I love that. It's such a wonderful biblical truth that we can share in our books. So we're going to close our time together, Jessica, with what's one thing you want readers to know about Relentless Chase?
Well, I want them to know that even though she's a missionary, her story is relatable to us because God has a plan for our lives just like he does for her life. And God's loving and merciful, and that he works all things out for good.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for sharing about your book on my show today.
Thank you. Bye.
I am delighted that Angela Carlisle is back on my show with her latest romantic suspense, Silent Menace. So welcome back to my show, Angela.
Thanks, Sarah. Really glad to be here.
So in this story, who is the most important person in your heroine's life?
That would be her almost 2-year-old daughter, Jenna. Haley's a recent widow and still figuring out the single mom life, but she absolutely adores her little girl.
And what about your hero in this story? What is his greatest fear?
His greatest fear is that somebody will die on his watch. Peter's a former bodyguard, but after something went very wrong in an earlier job, he's terrified of being responsible for anyone anymore.
Mm. And what about the villain? Who or what does your villain love the most in this story?
Kind of a toss-up between money and control. Probably money, maybe, but control's right on its heels.
Yeah, I have a feeling that this is going to play into your hero's greatest fear. Somehow, some way. I just know it, Angela. We're not giving anything away, readers, so, you know, enjoy the story, but yeah, we know these things. So what about the setting? How does that move the story forward?
So Kincaid is a small town off the beaten path. Pretty much everybody knows everybody. There's not very many strangers around. So in a way, when things start going crazy, that narrows down the suspect list. But it also makes it difficult to imagine who might be targeting Haley when almost everybody around is a longtime friend or acquaintance.
Yeah, that can be. So you're using this setting, like the town itself with all the people too. Yeah, so that's definitely can be tricky. What about the positive underlying message of this story? What is that?
That God is in control and beauty can still rise from the ashes of what we've lost.
Oh, I love that. And can we ever hear that enough? I don't think we can.
No, so that's something I always
need. Yeah, definitely. I'm glad as Christian authors that we can put that hope in our stories. So we're going to close our short time together, Angela, with what is the tagline for Silent Menace?
A vulnerable target, a mysterious discrepancy, and unforeseen love.
Ah, I love it. Well, thank you so much for sharing about your book on my show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.